Welcome to the Bowers & Wilkins webcast with your hosts, Peter Madueno and Seth Snyder.
Welcome to the Bowers & Wilkins podcast. As always, I am Pete. We have with us Seth Snyder. And today we have a special guest, Brian Gauger. He's our colleague in the Texas market, part of the retail sales management team here at Bowers & Wilkins. How are you doing today, Brian and Seth?
Doing pretty good, man. How are you?
I'm doing excellent. Trying to stay healthy out here while also staying warm because it is April in Colorado and it still is snowing about a foot of snow.
You got a foot? Yeah.
Yep. We got about a foot outside. So
it's definitely not snowing in Texas. I'll tell you that right now.
Jesus, a foot of snow. Yeah, but it's Colorado, so that foot of snow will be gone by like lunchtime. So
that's about lunchtime now, and it's still sitting there. But yeah, absolutely. So today we're going to be talking about the importance of audio, and you know what we're going to start with. We're going to start off with a common question that I think a lot of our listeners get when they're introducing customers or even friends to audio. The question simply being is, why would I buy better audio for a product that already comes with speakers? And that could be, you know, a TV comes with speakers. My cell phone comes with speakers. You know, I've watched people use the cell phone trick where they put a cell phone in a cup to amplify the audio and use that as a stereo for their parties and stuff. So why would anyone buy speakers when everything comes with something?
Yeah, well, before we go too deep, we're developing a custom cup for cell phone speakers with the Bowers & Wilkins logo placement of the... No, it's the stupidest thing ever. It's so dumb. It's so dumb. I understand when you're doing that when you're, like, on the road and you're in a hotel room, but, like, you can bring a Bluetooth speaker in your suitcase, like, if you care about it. My thing has always been, like, you don't have to. These are pure luxury products, but they make your life better. Like, just like any luxury product does, if you do take the time and set aside a couple bucks to invest in them.
Like, well, being from Texas, as you know, so always remind me, one of our favorite things to say is everything's bigger in Texas, right? And, I think that one of the big things that I've always seen, because I've been in the industry for a while now, and, you know, the bigger the speaker, the more performance you get out of it. And even more so, it's what those speakers are made of, and what's the material that's being made to produce tweeter, mid-range, bass, or whatever, like that, all those things together. So when it comes together with great material, and the bigger the size, the more performance you get out of it.
So 100%. And Pete, do you have a timer set for? I want to know how many time was on how long it took for the Texan to tell us that he was from Texas, like.
Yeah, I think that was about 2 minutes in. We got a text from telling us he's from
I wanted
Texas.
To say it in the first 5 seconds, but you know, whatever.
No, you're not wrong, man. It's one of those it's just gonna give you higher performance. You don't people get bigger TVs because it's fun to watch a bigger screen. You don't need a 75-inch TV, but you get a lot better experience from a bigger screen. Same thing with speakers. A better speaker is gonna give you better performance. My thing has always been like, and I know this is something they've taught in Magnolia for years, it's just been the amount of money that you invest in your system is just absurd. When you look at the actual subscriptions that you make, when you spend $100 a month on your cable bill, when you spend $12 on your Netflix, or I think my Hulu is $12, my Netflix might be $20. I don't remember how much Netflix is, but your $10 Spotify subscription service, when you extrapolate that out to, you know, a 5-10 year period, you are spending thousands of dollars on the content that you're going to watch. So you should get, you know, make a modest investment now and make that investment that you're already going to make anyways, get more out of it down the road.
Well, I think a little bit more to that, Seth. I mean, that's a fantastic point. But, you know, I also see it as, you know, what you said exactly right. It's an investment. And, you know, an investment, you know, gets better over time. And one of the things I've always liked about speakers as opposed to, you know, a TV or a projector, right? Those things evolve much, much quicker than audio. Now, a good pair of tower speakers or a great pair of bookshelf speakers that you spend more money on now, for instance, you can add on to it with the surround sound system, but those are speakers that you could possibly have for the rest of your life. And the only way that you would want to upgrade those is if you made the choice to upgrade those. So if you start off with a pair of bookshelf speakers, like I started off with a pair of 686s that I got many moons ago, and they're now the rears. I put them; they were my left and right, and then I put them as my rears, and I'm at my 5.1 when that time came. So I'm still utilizing the investment that I made, several years ago.
Yeah, exactly. That's always been my thing with it. Just that you're gonna
as opposed to a TV, as opposed to like a TV that's gonna be, there's something new. A new TV is gonna come out, next year, yeah. Right? And you want to get it, So
anyway, HDMI is gonna change their protocols for Handshake every 6 freaking minutes. So, that's
gonna change. Yeah.
But your audio system isn't.
Another thing that I always find interesting is, and I get in this conversation with a lot of my friends when they find out that, some of the things that we do and some of the jobs that we've done and even the stuff that we have in our houses, how many times have you guys had friends over that they look at your system and they're like, well, how much is it? And you tell them what you paid and they're like, you're insane. But then they're going and they're driving their BMW or their, $70,000 car. I have a friend that he drives 7 minutes to work every single day. And that's all he does is he drives 7 minutes to work and drives back home. And he bought a brand new BMW and he's financially well off or whatever, but he looks at me like I'm crazy when I tell him that we sell, tower speakers for $1,000 a piece. He's like, why would anybody spend that? And I'm like, dude, he watches a movie every single night, watches football every Saturday and Sunday for 17 hours in between both days. He's constantly watching TV, playing video games, listening to music. He's the epitome of somebody who should have good speakers, but he doesn't see it as an investment. I'm like, you spend, half of your week listening to something, subpar audio, and you spend 7 minutes driving this car. Why wouldn't you have flipped the investment and put very little into your car that just is getting you from point A to point B and put that money into your sound system where you're going to have a much better experience throughout everything you're doing? So it elevates, he's also one of those people that still buys Blu-rays. He's still buying movies and music and things like that. So he's also buying better quality products. So he's going to have a better experience. So that $20 investment on a movie or a CD is going to be a better return when he's experiencing it.
For people who buy, first off, your friend should work harder at work so you can have both. But for people who actually buy music, like when I was a kid, because I'm 34 years old. When I was a kid, the MP3s weren't out yet. When I got into high school, like Napster was just become a thing. So I spent my entire childhood, every birthday, every Christmas, every time that my parents asked me what I wanted for a gift, it was always this band, this artist, this album. I still have thousands of CDs and the dollars that went into purchasing all of those things to not have an audio system to play it back. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense, especially now, because now it's even worse. Like for $10 a month, dude, if you'd told 12-year-old me that for $10 a month, I get all the songs, all of
the music at your fingertips.
Dude,
yeah.
It's insane.
Well, I mean, I was 12 years old and I did have all the music. I was a very early person on the Napster, the LimeWire, the BearShare. I was all about streaming music right off the bat. As soon as I was like, oh, I can get access to all this music right away, done. It was in. But I have noticed something over the time with the way streaming has come, just like a train crashing.
No kidding.
It really has changed a lot. And I'm not talking about, how access music. I'm talking about the quality of music. I remember some of the first albums and, in the early 90s when I first started getting into music, you would put a CD in, you would put a record on, even the tape deck thing, you'd put it in and you'd listen to the whole album because the whole album kind of told you a story.
Yeah.
Now I just feel like with streaming, you get kind of a single here, a single there, and an album around it. But you don't listen to the other 9 songs on the track on the album. You just kind of listen to that one track that they really, you can tell that they spent a lot of time on, and it doesn't tell a story. I mean, there are the one-offs, you know, you have a few that have been recent that, you know, they do, you can start at track 1 and end at track, you know, 13, and it tells a whole story throughout the whole album, but those are far and few between. I don't know. I just think that I have a huge component of having the access to any new song immediately and having all music, you know, 30 million songs at my fingertips. But I just feel like the quality of the product has kind of come down as a whole in as an album.
Brody?
I think
Brody? Well, no, I'm not. No, Brian, you sit down now. I'm coming to Pete hard.
Bro, okay. Absolutely. Okay.
No way. No, I'm going a complete opposite end of that spectrum. All right, so first,
dude, can I be the judge? Can I be the judge?
Yeah,
between these
Brian's the judge.
You get to pick a side. You get to pick a side.
So I'm just gonna go like just one genre. No, I'll go multiple genres. All right, so To Pimp a Butterfly came out a couple years ago. That album from front to back is absolute genius. There's so many great moments on that track. If you go into the rock genre, one of my favorite bands, Clutch, released an album called Psychic Warfare. Everybody check it out. It's a fantastic album. I don't skip a track. Not one. They're all unbelievable. And they only had like 2 singles. Now, I'm not going to completely there are some elements of like, if you go down through a playlist and you go to, you know, top 40 pop tracks and you click on all those pop tracks. Yeah. Ariana Grande probably only has 1 or 2 tracks, but I think that's more of a reflection on that particular artist. But if you go back to the 80s, there's only a couple Appetites for Destruction, you know? There's only a couple Ride the Lightnings. You can tell what genre I listen to. There's only 1 Thriller. Like, it was usually, like, you have the big build-up track, then you have the ballad, and then you have another big track. Like, they all followed a similar formula in, like, the early 80s and 90s. I don't think it's changed that much. I think the big difference is that you now have access to all of them. Because think about all those – because I had all those albums – let me think of a good one. All right, yeah.
Well, how about this, Seth? How about you think of a good one that was made within the last 5 years? You named 2 albums that were made in 2015 at the earliest.
Did you Google Psychic Warfare?
Maybe I didn't. I don't know.
It did come out
just,
later on.
Just like I have access to all music at my fingertips, I have access to all answers at my fingertips. So give me an answer of something that was released in the last 3 years. That I'll even give you 3 years. That tells a whole
story. You're putting on the spot. Some of the stuff that Chris Stapleton is doing. And, oh, dude, there you go. Sturgill Simpson. His new album is freaking magic from front to back. This is actually an anime film that he produced to go along with it. It's like the number one anime streaming film on Netflix right now. It is fantastic. And it sounds amazing. You can do, if we go into, I don't know if this is within the last 5 years, that War on Drugs dude. That album from front to back sounds amazing.
I will say Chance the Rapper, he did come out with album that was, you know, incredible. I was waiting for that one. I mean, he not only did he come out with an incredible album, but he also just released it for free. Like he didn't have a record label. I think that was the whole thing. That was his whole thing, was he didn't have any label distribute his music, and he still was able to win a Grammy, because everyone says you have to bend down to the labels to get the Grammys. He didn't do that. He didn't have any label or anything like that. So Chance the Rapper.
So my point is that I'm not necessarily disagreeing with you. I'm saying that it was probably like that back then. I have maybe the better the artist, the better the story in my collection. I know I'm selling myself out there, but I was young and stupid. But those albums were bought for one song, and you had to buy the whole album. Now you pay $10 and you can listen to whatever you want. It's awesome. The crazy thing is now that you can get into Tidal, you can get into Qobuz, you can get all those streaming services that give you those higher resolutions. You get the same quality as that CD, and you don't have there's so many options now that you have, but none of those options are going to bring out the overall capabilities of that, of what's stored on that disc, what's stored on that record, what's stored on what's coming through your phone, unless you have the quality system to bring it out. Like, you still have to invest in the speakers.
You know, I'm still here, guys. You're special guests. Yeah, I was just coming here.
So
all right. No worries.
All right, Brian. Who's the winner?
I say it's a tie because you both make a very, very good point. You know, Seth, you were talking about classic albums that no one will ever be able to replicate, like Thriller and Appetite, and all. I mean, yeah, those are those things. But you know, Pete does make up a good bring up good points too. So I call it a tie. But here's what I really want to what I'm getting from all of this is, you know, your system. My stepdad really, really enjoys driving. He spent his lifetime saving up to buy a race Porsche. I'm not a car guy by any sense of the word, but I will tell you right now that when he finally bought his Porsche, he didn't put stock tires on it. And why do I say that is because you put performance tires on a performance machine. So if you go out and buy a $3,500 OLED and you have stock speakers on it, you're not getting the performance out of that experience, because guess what? Sound is the other part, and in my opinion, the most important part of your experience.
Why most important?
So, because you could close your eyes and still understand what's going on without seeing the screen.
Yeah, good point.
And to that point too, so everything in your system, if you're going to buy a performance system, you need to have performance sound. You need to have performance cabling and all that kind of stuff. And kind of going into what you guys are saying is you need to have a performance source. Source is very important. You were talking about Blu-rays and all that kind of stuff. Those things give you more, give you a bigger, better bit rate, and they have better performance. It's a better performance source. So like, for instance, you know, I know Pandora is what everybody knows and loves, but the evolution of what Pandora provided going into Spotify and then Tidal and then your Qobuz, those kind of things, you pay for better performance sound, the stuff that you've invested in, the sound that you've invested in, is gonna shine through a whole lot better than anything else.
I think that's shifted too, because I'm seeing less and less of people who are actually listening to Pandora. Particularly people in our age, where like $10 a month, you know, that's not that big of a stretch. Even college students, I could have found $5 when I was in college. You know that, and I was broke in college. So
I got spot. I got Tidal when it was still like $25 a month. Now it's like, you know,
I'm still paying 20. I don't know how much it is, but it's well worth the investment. But my thing is, like, people are that's also like people are. They chose the higher performance source. It's not a huge difference between Pandora, Apple Music, and Spotify as far as quality, what you hear is concerned, but you get the ability to choose your own music, listen wherever you want. That translated immediately into massive, massive headphone sales. It's a huge market.
Yeah,
for huge, sure. Like billions and billions of dollars get sold in headphones all the time. But that's where people, like, eventually people need to take that next step. I'm a headphone guy. I like headphones. I like good headphones. Excuse me, I'm not a headphone guy. We sell great headphones. We have great headphones in our portfolio. I use my PI3s pretty much every day. But I use my PX7s for all the time as well. But I still 100% would take a real system that just you don't
get. Absolutely.
As cool as headphones can be, you don't get the physical nature of listening to music. And I think that's some of the things that, like, people who haven't experienced high performance systems, I don't think they quite understand completely. Like, when you go to a concert or you go to the movie theater, you feel things. That's the pressurization of the space that you're in. Like, you can have that at home every single day if you want it.
It's about the experience. I mean, it's you know, people, we, myself included, you get into this stuff because it changes the way that you hear music. It changes the way that you watch a movie. And, you know, I'll tell you what, I'm a big Beatles fan. But one of my favorite songs is A Day in the Life. My favorite cut of A Day in the Life is off of the anthology, where it's imperfect. It's not the final, you know, on a silver platter plate that everybody usually hears. This is, you know, you hear coughing, you hear You know, you hear people talking in the background, and with a really good pair of speakers, if that source is not, if that source is compressed, you can't hear that stuff. And with a really good pair of bookshelf speakers or tower speakers or a full surround sound system with quality stuff, man, it opens up, that flower blooms, and you can hear things that you've never heard before. I was blown away when I heard that song on a pair of 800s. It was fantastic.
Yeah, there's all types of little things. I was just listening to music last night with my wife, and she was saying, I don't forget what song it was. It was some Billie Eilish track, but
I love her, dude.
Cool as shit, dude.
She's so cool.
And she said something like, "Man, this really sounds good on your speakers. Like, it's not like you can't hear the difference." She doesn't give a damn about any of this stuff. Like, it's definitely my hobby, but she, over the years, has like become used to understanding like, yeah, these are different. To the point that when we bought our house and I was ready to like build my man cave, which if you guys are listening can't see it, but I'm on video with these guys and they can see my dungeon. But I'm in an unfinished basement right now, but eventually will be somewhere cool. But
it's a tad creepy.
It's a tad creepy, dude. Yeah. It puts
my notes just in a little basket.
But no, it's when I talked about like moving the 804s that I owned down into the basement and having like a little man cave, she was like, "You're not doing that. I love these things. These are our speakers. They're not just yours. These are our speakers." I'm like, "Oh, all right. Yeah. My work here is done." Like,
Yeah, it's funny. My wife kind of does the same kind of thing. I had the old PXs, right? And my wife loved them, and she would always use them. And then when I got the PX7s, to kind of test it out, she used those, and then she loved those. You know, and as we kind of evolve, and I get different stuff, she kind of acts like, "I don't really care." And then basically, I'm like, "Okay, I got to go on a trip, and I need my headphones." And she's like, "Those are my headphones," you know, and I'm like, "Yes, it's fantastic." Cause you know, I think pay attention to what the awesomeness that, you know, a great pair of headphones or bookshelf speakers or tower speakers can provide in your life. She sees it and acknowledges it. And she's not a nerd like you, the three of us, where we dig on this stuff, but she really can appreciate it. And she's, she can appreciate quality,
and that right there, it's because we've all had the customer that says, "Well, I'm old and I can't hear the difference."
Yeah, of course. Then how are you hearing me have a conversation?
Yeah, exactly. Like your ears are a very sensitive instrument, and you can hear the difference between everything unless you're deaf. And it's one of those deals where I know the message is coming out from a lot of different sources about how people don't care that much about quality.
That's BS.
Plastic earbuds for a while, and now it doesn't anymore. So it's one of those, like, do people really not care about quality, or is the source of that information coming out, but they just not know how to build a good pair of loudspeakers?
I think it's one of those things where people don't realize what they're missing out on until they actually hear it. You know, and that's a major thing, especially when they're listening, like, especially if they have their favorite song and all they've ever heard it on was, you know, subpar headphones or subpar car audio. And then they come to one of our houses and listen to it on a premium audio system. They're like, "Wait, I never heard that instrument. Your speakers are adding stuff to my
song. What are you doing?
Song."
It's what, like, are you doing
no,
to it?
It's showing what's already there. It's not adding. It's showing what's supposed
to
be.
Yeah, and it can be something subtle, like, freaking Brian sent us a picture the other day. What is that, like, relic that you have, like a Formation
audio? That was the first. It's got a record player, it's got a tape deck, it's got a recording tape deck, it's got I put the Formation audio on it, and it's called a Pilot, PILOT. If you want to put it on the Facebook page, but it's a relic, and I kind of brought it back to life. And I, you know, the funny thing is I put our Formation, the DAC on that thing does 32/192. The thing is, the Formation audio piece is one of my favorite pieces, but I plugged it in via RCA in the back of it. And it came alive, you know, and I played a song out of it, and you could hear differentiation. It even made an old, like, I don't even think they're even a speaker manufacturer anymore, but it made
an old
Relic, an all-in-one boombox system that we've had at this Coast House since probably 1970, oh crap, or probably 81, right? And it made it sound fantastic. And again, that kind of goes back to what we were talking about. Source is very important.
Does that Pilot piece, does it have a power button or do you have to crank it by hand?
Like, it does. If you look at the picture, it's on the fourth strip right by the tape deck. It's a big orange circular power button. Yeah, it's a push in power button.
That's state of the art technology right there.
It's killer. It's absolutely killer.
Does it have an 8-track on it? Like, it's so old.
No, I wish it had an 8-track because I actually got some crazy good 8-tracks that my dad was going to throw out. I was like, don't throw those out. I'll take those. You had the White Album. You had Zeppelin 3. It was killer. Man, I'm going to put those on my shelf.
Put those on eBay. Some hipster in Brooklyn will buy them up quick.
I guarantee you. Guarantee you.
No, yeah. It boggles my mind sometimes. Where, like, just your experience with your old Pilot system, just plug it in a better source and it sounds better. Like, all these little things make a difference. But the big thing that I always tell people is that, like, dude, you've got access to every song. You have access to the greatest artistic achievements in human history, and it's on your fingertips at any given time. At this point, not only decent system.
Okay, then I'm gonna ask a question to both of you. I'm gonna ask a question to both of you. What is your number one album? Only one album, not artist, one album. Desert Island, one album. What is it?
That's hard, dude.
It is hard.
My
just off the top of your head. My
father-in-law. Jock Jams. You got to mix up a whole bunch of different songs,
man. Now, this is what I call music 98.
It's really tough, dude, because, like, all right, so my father-in-law has this book that he keeps in his house that he makes people come in. Anybody who's, like, who passes his test of, like, has become, like, essentially a part of the family has to put down their top five favorite albums and their top five favorite singles. And God help you if you put a greatest hits album on there. He will ruthlessly just pick you apart.
Except there's only one greatest hits album that's okay. That's Bob Marley.
That is a really good one. His collection's so small, like, it almost has to be a greatest hits. That's really tough. I'd either go Foofy with, like, Miles Davis kind of blue. I hate even saying Foofy because it makes it sound like just jazz is a Foofy album.
That's a fantastic album. Are you kidding me?
I would put Metallica Ride the Lightning on there because it's perfect from front to back. I'm gonna go.
Pete, what do you got?
I'm a little, I don't want to say I'm embarrassed to say, but it would probably be one of the Queen albums, yeah, to be honest. I have always been a huge fan of Queen, even before the movie and everything, you know, came back. I think honestly, it probably comes back to, like, loving Wayne's World and watching them just headbang. And it also, I mean, some, like, just the history of Queen themselves, like, for instance, like, that every single, they're the only band where every single member has been inducted into the Songwriting Hall of Fame as an individual and as a band member. So, I mean, even the drummer got inducted into the Hall of Fame for songwriting. It wasn't just their front man. A lot of people think, oh, it's Freddie Mercury who's writing all these songs. It actually, all four of them were writing songs. So I think the history of them, like, you know, the movie I thought was incredible. You know, and we use a lot of the scenes as audio demos for movies and things like that. So, I mean, but which album? I couldn't tell you which one it is, but it's definitely going to be... one of their middle albums. It's not gonna be, you know, it's not gonna be the first one with Killer Queen or anything like that. And it's not gonna be necessarily Night at the Opera.
When it might be. I forget what album it was on, but it was the single on the big album was "I Want to Break Free." I think it was The Works. When I was a kid, my mom had that album. It's either that or might have been their greatest. I don't know. It doesn't matter. I was looking through the photos in that album. And I was probably like third, fourth grade, maybe a little earlier. And I was flipping through, and I got to the one of the pictures of them all dressed in drag, where I think like Freddie has like a vacuum cleaner, and I was like, I'm looking up at my parents, like, why are they dressed like girls? And my dad, like over the paper, like looks at my mom, and he's like, you explain it to him. To my mom, Queen's how I got to talk. I might put a Queen in there. I know when you have to build like your super band, Freddie Mercury is always my front man, because any other answer is wrong. But
yeah, that's right. I would absolutely agree with that. He had the entertainment. Great stash. I mean, come on, the guy was he was a legend.
I mean, Vince Neil from Motley Crue is a pretty good front.
No, man. Absolutely not. He doesn't have the longevity.
Well,
Vince Neil. Can't believe you.
No way.
Hey, I'm just saying. Hey.
No way. Yeah. it goes without saying. Like, it all comes back to, like, every single one of our answers has come back to the source material, has been either the music or the movie that you're trying to watch. Like, it's not about us when it comes to why you buy good speakers. It has to do with the emotional connection to whatever it is that you're listening to, whether it be movies or music. But yeah, it's not like, I know there's a large subsection of our customers who buy our speakers and who buy other speakers and high performance equipment to listen to the actual equipment. They usually wear tube socks with sandals and pleated khakis, audiophile types. Like, that's not why we make stuff. That's not why we make these speakers. It's not why we spend countless hours of engineering developing these things. We make this level of product, and we put this much effort and passion into building these products because we want people to connect, have emotional experiences more with the music and movies that they love. Like,
John Bowers wanted to feel like he was sitting in his living room listening to the symphony and listening to classical music. That's why he started on the journey.
And when they use our speakers and when they use a couple million dollars worth of equipment to record all this stuff with all of that, you know, all that love and expertise at those recording studios that use our equipment, and it doesn't matter any recording studio, like, it's almost a disservice to that artist and that audio engineer to listen to a pair of plastic headphones.
Yeah, wait, hang on. You mean that they're not listening to the same pair, the same two speakers that are in the bottom of my Sony TV? That
they're definitely not using $300 plastic headphones because they're cool and they connect your phone.
Yeah,
like, no.
Yeah,
sorry. So,
but it's crazy. It's crazy.
Some of the crazy things is when I go to a lot of shows, and when I listen to, and before I go to the show, I try to listen to the music that week. And almost every time I'm so disappointed with the audio when I get to the venue and I'm listening to the song and I'm like, man, my home sounds a little bit better than being here. And when I say a little bit, I mean significantly, but you know, you get the crowd,
I don't know,
you have everything there. So we're running out of time. We're coming down to a close. Brian, before we let you go, we want to first thank you for coming on. But we've kind of started this new thing where we're asking people a question when they on their way out and kind of putting you on the spot. But
I was not prepared for this.
You seem to be. It's all right. Well, you don't even know the question yet, so we got you. But if you were going to go test speakers, what is your go-to song to test the speakers on?
And let me clarify: you're buying speakers for yourself. So there's.
Yeah, that's easy. I already told you what it was. I use the same speaker that I used to use when I was a salesperson. It's "Day in the Life" by the Beatles, off the anthology album. It changed the way I listen to music, guys. I mean, it was the reason why I fell in love with the industry, and it just gives you so many things. And I listened to them on a pair of 800 series. I used to show people on a pair of 800 series, and their jaws drop the same way my jaws drop. And it just changed the way you listen to a song. If you start off in the beginning of it, it has a lot of different, you know, it has George in the background, and he coughs and you can hear it just like if you close your eyes, you can point out in the entire room where they are. Listen to the, you know, that's a long song, guys. Remember that. So, I mean, it's about, I think it's probably nine, that cut's about 9 minutes long. So I can't really say, hey, listen to the first, you know, you can get everything out of the first minute and a half. But I mean, I guess you could. It's just got so much detail and so many things going on. And man, it was crazy.
I like long demos.
I challenge y'all.
I like long demos, so I'm fine with that. Like, it's, I don't really emotionally connect with a piece of music in the first 45 seconds. So I'm fine with sitting there for, you can have 4 minutes of my time. Like, that's totally reasonable.
Well, you know, 45 seconds, you know, if you have a good song and a good demo, demo cut, if you stop it at 45 seconds, that customer is going to probably be like, why did you stop it? you know, like, no, keep going. Like, and you'll, your 15 minute, you know, show and tell will turn into an hour and a half long, you know, demonstration where you're buddied up with your customer. So, yeah, that's, that would be the song that, you know, that did it for me. Was that even your question? I think that was your question, right?
Yeah. No, that was definitely the question. All right, Brian. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Thank you very much for coming in and hopping on this call and listening or talking with us. Thank you to the listeners. That's our show.
Y'all be safe out there. Day.